Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Patricia McGiven. She is a lecturer, hypnotist and also an author. And she has a book out called Angel Babies, Messages from Miscarried and Other Lost Babies. She wrote this because it covers spirit communication with early lost babies, as she describes it. And it came about with her because of her painful loss of a lovingly anticipated baby, which she lost through miscarriage. So, welcome to the program, Angela.
Oh, it's Patricia. Yes, thank you, Michael.
I'm saying Angela because I'm talking of angels. Yes, yeah. Patricia, well, perhaps you are an angel anyway. Right, I've spoken of where this really started for you, but what year was it that you had the miscarriage?
The year would have been 1991.
Right. Now, that surprises me a bit in some ways. I don't know why, because you tell us that the big event in your life that somewhat changed it when you heard, as you describe it, from your miscarried baby was in 1996. That was quite a long time after.
Yes, exactly. I didn't hear until 4.5 years after the loss of the baby, long past the grieving stage.
Yes. What was your feeling before you had this contact? I mean, you seem to have coped very well with this particular happening, and you've really got into it and made something out of it, and you now, I guess, feel somewhat privileged, in a manner of speaking, to have had that experience and to be able to help other people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I look at the experience now differently than out of grief, you know, which is how I felt initially for many years, and now I'm grateful that the baby came even briefly.
Yes, because you've, I guess, undoubtedly learned that there is no such thing as death. But what was your belief before this happened? I mean, did you believe in life after death?
Well, I probably had more of a belief than I realized. I'll say that. I think that I certainly wouldn't have called myself metaphysical when I lost the baby, nor 5 years later, when I had the first experience. I became metaphysical really after having that experience of hearing from the baby, whereupon I was really propelled on a spiritual journey of reading everything I could read about this topic. But I think that saying that also, I had heard from my dead parents. When I would get massages, I would talk to them, and they were, excuse me, they were so real. I thought, gosh, I must be very good at imagining because they seemed so real. I was probably more open to a lot of this than I thought I was. Let me just say that.
I mean, is this your, or was it your first experience of that type of thing? I mean, did you have any, or believe you had any sort of communication or message prior to that?
From the baby?
No, from any other source?
Yes, like from my parents. Some things had happened when I lost my parents when I was younger, and I had felt that they had let me know that they were okay. So in that respect, yes, I knew that there was some type of life after life. I will say that, yes.
Yes, I thought that may be the case because it does seem rather extraordinary that the contact with your baby might have been the first time ever. So you were really psychic and ready to receive that communication. Now, I'm sure everybody is wondering what actually happened the first time you had the contact. Would you like to describe what took place?
Yes, absolutely. It really, in a lot of ways, felt like how this story began, and that was I was taking a nap in the afternoon. I'd had a baby, by the way, after the child that I lost, Dylan.
Oh, yes.
I came to know his name as. And Megan was born, and she was 3 years old. I was taking a very rare afternoon nap. And as I was waking up in that in-between state, you know, before you're fully alert and
yes.
you know you're not asleep yet, I heard very clearly right next to me, "I'm right here. I'm right here." Very impatient. And my eyes flew open thinking, whoa, you know, she must have gotten up before me. And I was a little worried about her, you know, wandering around the house with me still napping.
Right.
And she wasn't in the room. And I just assumed, of course, that she must have been on the outside of the closed bedroom door. But as I began looking for her, she wasn't anywhere downstairs. And I didn't hear her little footsteps patter off. And you know, you're trying to make sense of something, like, I know what I heard, the TV's not on, the radio's not on, there are no neighbors, where is Megan? And an answer
yeah.
came in my mind, you'll find her upstairs asleep. And with that, the hair on the back of my neck went up because I had never heard anything in my mind like that before. So I went running upstairs thinking, how can that be? That voice was right next to me. And sure enough, I found her asleep on her little princess bed, clearly in a deep sleep. And I was, again, trying to make sense of what I had heard. Like, if it wasn't Megan, what did I hear? And an answer came in my mind. It was the baby you lost. And with that, every, you know, hair on my body, just the goosebumps just stood on end. And I was just in shock. In fact, I ran to my bedroom thinking, if I can hear the baby, maybe I can see the baby, and just ask the baby to come to me, and just, you know, kind of sat at the edge of the bed with my heart pounding and my eyes wide open, waiting for the baby to appear. Nothing happened, but it was an amazing experience, and one that I kept trying to, like, could that, I always knew what I heard was real. I mean, I couldn't explain it away, but he came again a night later as I was sleeping, and I heard Mommy. And my first thought, as always, it's one of my girls. I also had an older daughter, Kylie, and she was, she would have been 6, I believe, at that time. And
yes.
so, you know, your first assumption is it's one of your children. Again, nobody in the room. And as I went through my closed bedroom door to their room, I realized it couldn't have been either of my children. They would have never closed the door behind them.
Right.
And so that's how the story began.
So at what point did you realize that this contact was with the baby you miscarried?
Well, it was so real, Michael, that I didn't know, you know, what to meant. Like, how could this be? How could this be? So later that week, I went to get a massage. And the woman that I went to get the massage from, she was metaphysical. She had all of these things in her office, like crystals. And I was both like,
yes.
Who comes here? You know, what kind of place is this? And yet I was drawn to it, and I felt safe there. She began massaging me. And she said, he's here. And I said, who's here? As I'm covering up, thinking it's a delivery man. She said, the baby you lost. And so she began to communicate. And there's also a very big skeptic in me, especially if it's somebody else giving me information. But she began, Michael, to describe what he looked like, which was very much like my children, but she had never seen them. And they looked different from me in that I have dark hair, and they had really blonde hair then and big blue eyes. And she described this child to look this way. And when I asked her how old he looked to be, she said, I'm not very good at ages, but he looks to be about 4. And in fact, he would have been 4. And then
yes.
she began to tell me about him having this little bear and a little red truck and or wagon. And I said, describe this bear to me. And she described it as what I would call like an antique-looking bear. Well, just a few weeks earlier, I had been in a craft store and I had bought a bear that looked just like the bear she was describing, but not for either of my little girls, but for me. And I was a little embarrassed when I bought the bear. I thought, why am I buying this bear for me? I have two little children, but it was mommy's bear. And this is the bear that she talked about that he had. So I said, flip me over. I want to talk to him. I thought, if I can talk to my dead parents this way, maybe I can talk to him in this way. And so I began talking to him and calling out to him, and I didn't know much about all of this at the time, and so I didn't know how much he had heard. And I just, all of a sudden I felt another presence there, like a male, what today what I would describe as perhaps a guide. And he said, what about Megan? And I thought, who are you? What are you doing here? I'm finally talking to my miscarried baby, which was like amazing. And what does this have to do with Megan? And with that, Dylan, who I could feel was to the left of me again, but I couldn't see him, but I could, you know how when you can sense somebody standing right next to you, it was like that. And he said, Megan was to have come with me. I fulfilled my mission, but she wanted you to be her mommy so much, she's come back to you. So with that, I was completely blown away because it never occurred to me that I could have been pregnant with twins. Yes. But it did explain why I always thought the baby was a boy, and my husband always felt just as strongly it was a girl. So that's how the story began. This information was so startling to me. When I came home, of course, I told my husband, Tim, and I'm like, you're not going to believe what happened today. Which is how I started a lot of conversations when I would talk about this. And he didn't comment afterwards. He had been reading the paper. Today I realized he was as stunned as I was. But I ended up taking his non-response as the fact that he didn't believe me. And as I walked away, holding little Megan who had run up to me, I thought, oh, he's right. You know, how could this possibly be true? And with that, Michael, I completely forgot this incredible experience of hearing from my miscarried baby. And I don't know when or if I would have become aware of that again if I hadn't gone back to get another massage about 2 months later. And it was during that time that the massage therapist said, well, what did Tim think of the massage? And I'm like, did I like it? I didn't know where she was going with the questioning. And finally, she said, did I talk to your miscarried baby? And with that, everything came rushing back to me. And I was just like, how could I have forgotten something so important? Oh, my gosh, how could I have forgotten? And as you began to massage me, she said, he's here, and he's not too happy you forgot his name. Okay. It was during that experience that he told her that one of my life's missions was to write a book. And the name of the book would be Angel Babies, to help heal the mommies who've lost their babies.
Oh, wow.
And my response to that, which was huge, was, what? You know, wrong mommy, wrong life mission. What do I know about babies in heaven or on the other side? I'm not a writer, and what will people think? They'll think I'm crazy. You know, I can't do that. And so that's how it all began.
Right, so then was there an ongoing communication that went a bit deeper? I mean, how is it today, for example? Do you still do it?
Yes, when I meditate today, he comes to me and I really want to see his face clearly. So he is helping me to see him more clearly. It's like I see him, but I can't clearly define his face to, you know, describe his face to you. So he's very interesting because he'll say, focus.
Yeah.
But he did many things at the beginning because it was really too big for me to take in. So many things were happening, until it was years, in fact, Michael, before I stepped into deciding to write the book. I think about 4.5 years had passed until finally one day in meditation I saw him, and his head was hung down and his shoulders were slumped forward and he looked so defeated, and he said, "It's okay, Mommy. You don't have to write the book." And with that, it was like, oh, the guilt. And I said, "Okay, Dylan, I'm ready. I will begin to write the book if you will help me." And so anytime that things continued happening, I would hear him at different times, just, you know, like one time it was during Megan's birthday party, actually, and I had stepped off to the side, and I heard very clearly, "Mommy," and I always assumed it was Megan, and I would turn around, and she wouldn't be there, but so many amazing things happened, Michael. Really, before I heard Dylan, I had, when I became pregnant, but, you know, my husband and I, we planted a tree to honor the baby, and we wanted it to be a tree that grew strong and big, and we planted it as soon as we found out I was pregnant, thinking the tree would grow along with the baby. Well, the tree died, and in fact, it never really grew after we planted it, and it became the dead tree with brittle limbs and no leaves, and I would say to my husband, "Would you please cut the darn tree down? It's dead, and so is our baby." And it was a reminder of our loss. For years, I used to ask him to please cut the tree down, but he never quite got around to it. Well, one day, about 3.5 years after I lost the baby, I looked outside to the dead tree, and there was green blossoms, and I ran downstairs. I thought, "This can't be." I even called somebody in the town near us who's an expert on trees and said, "Is it possible for a tree to be dead for nearly 4 years and come to life?" But as soon as I ran to that tree and I saw, in those uncensored moments where the conscious mind comes in and tries to rationalize things, I saw it as a sign from the baby that the baby was alive on the other side. And I pulled him downstairs to say, "Look, the baby's trying to tell us that the baby's okay on the other side." Tim didn't quite get it like I did at that time, but today that tree is about 20 feet tall. It is big and beautiful, and we can climb into the tree and sit in there, and it's Dylan's tree.
Yes, right. Now, it is quite obvious, because you said so, that the book is to help other people through the same type of loss, to know that the spirit lives on. But do you in any way encourage or advise other people in how to make a similar communication?
Absolutely. I think that just becoming aware that they can talk to us, they are still with us. That's one thing that when I decided to write the book, I also decided to find others who had experiences similar to mine. And, you know, nobody talks about miscarried babies, and let alone experiences of communication with miscarried babies. But I did have women writing to me from all over the world, different socioeconomic levels, different levels of education, with amazing stories of communication, which are in my book. And basically, the babies come to either in some way prepare them for what's about to happen, that they're leaving, or just to let them know that they're still with them, you know, just by coming up and appearing to them. And the women always find great comfort in this. So one of the most common ways that they can come to us is in the dream state, when our conscious mind is, you know, put aside and they can talk to us. Those are those very vivid, what we would call dreams, but you know that they're so real that they are real. They are real visitations.
Yes. Well, you mentioned various ways that you use to make spirit communication. How do you relate it to doing meditation?
Well, in meditation, again, that is a state where they can talk to us on the other side. In fact, I became a hypnotist during this spiritual awakening that I was having. And I today even help women to talk to the babies that they've lost. Because when you're in that state, hypnosis is, you know, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis, and it's similar to the state of when we meditate. So they can come to us in this way and help us to heal from the loss, because they are still with us, and they don't want us to carry this grief around. For many women, they feel guilty in some way that they caused the baby to leave, because that's what we do as mothers. We assume that somehow it was our fault that the baby didn't come, but it's the reasons are much bigger than that, and it's the baby that makes the decision about coming for the life lessons as a soul to come into this life and what it is to learn in this life. So the babies, getting back to your question, can come to us in many ways through meditation, hypnosis. A good psychic medium, you may be able to get very powerful messages from them. Coincidences, even. I had women write to me with amazing synchronistic coincidences of how they got communication, seeing their baby's name on a special day, like a lot, even on the side of a bus. So there are many, many different ways to hear from them.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask you about coincidences. Does it include things happening around you, perhaps something being moved where you to somewhere different to what you left it, but somehow connects with your sort of lost baby?
Yes, absolutely. And also, things can be moved, also electronics. When I decided to begin researching, I of course thought of angel babies, and when AOL, you know, was giving me permission, it came back with this number attached to angel babies, 10527. I thought I must have been the 10,527th person to ask for this email address. And then I had a client who was interested in numbers that were coming up in his life, and I began thinking about the numbers behind angel babies. And when I got home that night, I took a look at them, and I literally about fell off my chair, because 10-5 is the day, October 5th, that I lost the baby. And wow. 27, when I looked, is the day that I discovered I was pregnant. So it was, isn't that amazing?
That is incredible, yes. But, I mean, you have to think to yourself somehow, the beings in spirit fit this up in a way that it happens to you. But even so, you just think, well, how on earth do they manage it?
I know. At one point, I was writing to a woman, and she wrote me back. It was like three emails from her right away, and I read the first one, and the second one, I thought, oh, that must be a duplicate, and I just, you know, erased it without reading it. And then the third one, I thought, you know, maybe I'd better read this just in case there was something else. And at the bottom of the third email, it said, basically, you're on the right path. We'll guide you along the way. So I wrote her back, and I said, thank you for your, you know, your message of support. And she said, I didn't write that. In fact, it's not in my email. I mean, these things can happen in so many ways. One woman wrote me, her child had a near-death experience, and it was a drowning, and of course she came back, and afterwards she talked about a little boy that she met on the other side, and that it was her brother, and gave the name, and in fact the parents had lost a child before her, but had never talked about the baby or the name, because it was such a sad event in their life, and this child knew all about the brother and his name, and that he would watch over, and the mother said, and he has. So just amazing things, you know, so many different stories and experiences. Yes, they can come in so many different ways. And even people who don't necessarily believe in all of this, when you just begin to be open to it. I had a girlfriend, for instance, who read the manuscript, Angel Babies, and what I didn't know about her was that she had had a miscarriage, and I wasn't sure at that time about asking her to read the book because, you know, I was talking about some woo-woo stuff. And afterwards, she said she finished reading the manuscript. She walked out into the living room, and there on the TV set was the name of the of what she would have named that baby, Michael.
Wow.
And she said she had goosebumps from head to toe, and she just knew that that was her sign. And she said, I don't know if I've missed the signs. Now that I look back, you know, has he tried to tell me he's near, but I didn't see it. So just kind of asking and being open and just being aware of, like, all the things that you're talking about, things moving even, that might, you know, have to do with the baby.
Yes. I'm guessing, and I'm pretty certain that spirit messages would tell people not to hold any type of fear if they're trying to make a contact, because that puts up a barrier and stops the very thing they're trying to do. Have you come across that sort of reasoning?
Well, I have to say, I even was afraid at one point. At one point, we were at a cabin of ours at Christmas time, and I heard the bedroom door open and five little footsteps, and of course, again, I assumed it was Megan, and because, you know, there's a sound, you know, you get used to with little children, and opened my eyes, and she wasn't in the room, and I knew, you know, you can feel a presence in the room, and I thought it was Dylan. I was sure it was, you know, the baby then. And I thought maybe he was going to appear to me. And I'll tell you, I was both excited and my heart was pounding. So that may have stopped anything else from happening. But the reason I felt like it was him was because it was Christmas Eve. And I think he just wanted us to know that he was there with us. So there are so many different ways. It's just a matter of, you know, paying attention and listening to that inner voice before the conscious awareness of all the conditioning we've had in this life, you know, that this can't be true. It can be true. That's the great thing. It can be true, and it is true.
Yes. Of course, what you're saying obviously applies to people who have lost any friend or family. It's making the conditions right so that you can make contact with the people. And, of course, taking notice of what happens around you when they're trying to let you know that they are there, isn't it?
Yes. That's exactly right. Yes, it's really not just about babies, but, you know, because the miscarried babies aren't validated in so many ways in our society, but families who have miscarried a baby and that they've really wanted this baby, this is a very real loss to them. So I really wanted to focus on communication from early lost babies, and that includes miscarried babies and stillborn babies, and I even had mothers write to me who had experiences with aborted babies.
I used to think that if someone had a stillborn baby, that there was probably never a soul attached to it. But in view of what you're saying, there was a link made, and it still exists after the stillbirth.
Mm-hmm. That
You've
seems
experienced
to be
that, have you?
Yes, that is what I have come to realize, that there is a soul that may be, I don't know what verbiage you would want to use, whether it's assigned or claimed or this is my body. These are the parents that I choose to come into this life for the lessons that I will learn or perhaps that they will learn. You know, we choose our parents and the experiences that, you know, for our soul's growth in this lifetime, in this incarnation.
Right. It's funny talking to you because three times I've written down something to ask you, and you've come to it without me mentioning a word. Because I was just going to ask you if you believe that souls choose their parents, and you evidently do.
Yes. What I also learned was that the baby returning to me was actually my dad returning to me.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's even more interesting, yes.
Especially when I first discovered I was pregnant at the hospital, I went to get a blood test, and when they told me the due date, and it was close to when my dad's birthday was, my first, you know, those uncensored thoughts was, you know, the baby will be due on my dad's birthday. And then the next thought was, because it is my dad returning to me.
BBS Radio.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy and my guest, Patricia McGiven, back live with you. There's been a little delay. So we will try and continue where we left off. I'm not precisely sure what we were talking about at the time, but Patricia and I have spent a couple of minutes talking about soul missions, life plans and free will. So tell our listeners what you understand to be the purpose of a soul's mission.
Well, I think that in my case, I believe that, you know, during the planning stage before we come into this lifetime, as you and I were talking about over break, that it was probably all of this was decided upon. I just, you know, in a conscious state, none of us remember this information. But that because of free will, I always had the choice as to what to do with this after, you know, it happened, meaning the loss of the baby and the communication and to write the book, this message, this mission that I was supposed to be on that I resisted for years. It took many, times of communicating with, you know, psychics or someone to see if this, Marianne Lane, who was my massage therapist, was, you know, really, was this information really true that I should write the book on angel babies? But soul mission is so important because, well, each of us have that. And as we were talking about, you know, what is it that we are to learn in this lifetime for our soul's growth? Did I answer that?
You didn't say that, but yeah, that's true. Carry on. So the purpose of life is for a soul's growth. I totally go along with that.
Yeah.
Anything to add to that one?
You know, just that, again, we, you know, we reincarnate in soul groups, and that it is possible that the baby we lost can come back in another child. Sometimes the timing isn't right. There was one woman who wrote to me from Puerto Rico, and a baby had come to her in the dream state and said that, you know, now is not the time for me to come into your life, but I'll see you soon. 1 month later, her husband died. So perhaps it was that child needed a father figure or a family unit to fulfill its life's purposes and things. So the baby, you know, decided for now that it wasn't going to come.
Right. Yes, I have read that before, that you have the choice of going through the birth right up to the last second. But generally speaking, souls will go ahead because they realize the value to them of having that experience. I guess although you exercise your free will, if you don't go ahead with something that's part of your life plan, you'll only have to sort of face it or do it again later.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, now, when a miscarriage occurs, it seems to me that if, say, if this is possible, just purely something accidental, and that soul really wanted to come to you, You would think logically, as soon as you were pregnant again, that same soul would then take that opportunity to join you. Now, have you come across that at all?
Well, that was certainly the case, as it turns out, with me and with Megan, although I didn't know that at the time, of course. But yes, and sometimes the baby will come, if the baby wants to be close to you, it may not even come to you, but maybe your sister will have a baby. And that's the same soul, so that it can be in the same family, you know, unit, so to speak. There's so many different reasons, but they come, even briefly, you know, to bring love and to show love. And sometimes it's that simple. That was their mission or their purpose in coming to being, is to show you how to love again. And sometimes they need a strong body to fulfill whatever their mission is. And if the body isn't strong enough, that's why they may come in another, as another child as well.
Now, my wife had a miscarriage after we had our first boy, and then later we had another boy, so that was our family. So it's quite feasible that the second birth could well have been the same soul that was miscarried on the second occasion. But we thought we might be having a girl. I think a lot of parents think, oh, one of each will do nicely. We had a name ready for the girl, but I've never felt that if there was a soul that miscarried and didn't come back, that there was someone around me like that or trying to make contact. I've never had that sort of awareness, and this is over a period of about, say, 40 years.
Well, don't be surprised if after our talk today something happens.
Well, you never know, do you? I mean, I haven't given it any thought for quite a time. I suppose you don't relate in any way to phantom births or phantom pregnancies. But do you think maybe there is a soul that's trying to come to you? Have you experienced that one at all?
Where, excuse me, like a baby wants to come to you in terms of... Explain that to me a little bit more, what you're referring to.
Well, a phantom pregnancy is when a woman maybe misses a period, her stomach starts to swell, and then she's convinced that she's pregnant. But in the end, after a while, the doctor will say, well, that's funny, I can't find any evidence of it. And you realize it's just a phantom pregnancy.
Well, so many women have miscarriages like what you're explaining, and they don't even realize they've had a miscarriage. So it could be that there was something, you know, a baby, but so many women aren't even aware that they've had a miscarriage because it's just a late period or whatever. So that can happen. It doesn't mean... And there are times, you know, I've also gotten notes from women who have... You know, usually during a psychic reading, and I've talked to many psychics about the psychic mediums being able to talk to the other side, who will, you know, sit down with someone, and it's like, well, I have a young man here who's 22 years old, and he's saying he's your son, and they'll be like, no, no, no. And then they'll realize that perhaps it's a child that they maybe aborted, or, yes, you know, when I was in college, there was this time I thought I might be pregnant, or... Something like that.
Well, that's an interesting explanation, I must confess. I haven't considered for 1 second that the phantom pregnancy that my wife had may, in fact, have been a miscarriage and she didn't realize it. That's an interesting point you've made there. So, how does it work, say, with twins? Any ideas why two souls incarnate together like that?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think probably, again, on the other side, they decide to join forces. You know, we reincarnate in soul groups, so it might be kind of fun to go with your best friend on this new journey into life, and let's do it together, and I will do this and you will do that, and you know, as we know, twins may look alike, but they're very different people. So, you know, I'm just thinking that that's probably, yeah, if anybody, and I'm continuing my research, so if anybody, any of your listeners are out there who have had experiences of spirit communication and with twins, that would be interesting. I'd love to hear from you. And you can find my information on my website, patriciamcgivern.com.
Right. When we get near the end of the program, perhaps you could give out your email address if you're prepared to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fine. Okay, we'll give you a minute or two near the end to give that information. I had something in mind to say then. Now it slipped my mind immediately. Oh, yes, I know what I was going to say. I mean, with twins, there also must be possibly some reason why one dies very early, yet the other one carries on. So there's some mission there with the link between the two baby souls, if you like.
Yes, there was a story, it's in Angel Babies, about there was a twin-to-twin transfusion, I believe is what the mother told me it was. And so one of the twins basically, you know, gives up their life, I will say, so that the other can live. And that may be something karmic, you know, that they needed to do, or, you know, you go ahead, I'll come on later. and that it's a gift of love. Always. It's love. It's always about love.
Yes, that's interesting. And there's also, isn't there, not an odd situation, but parents who are absolutely dying to have a child and yet they can't have one. Mm. Whatever they do, they can never seem to find the right conditions, if you like, to achieve conception and things like that. So I suppose, again, that is something in their soul growth to experience the great desire to have a child, and yet for some reason to be unable to have one.
Yes, to be unable.
I mean, perhaps in a previous life.
There was a technical glitch here, and I lost you for a second, I think.
Did you? Oh, okay, right. Well, I was just thinking that maybe a couple that can't have a child, whatever they try to do, are, to use your word, which I believe is the correct one, perhaps in some karmic situation where they need to go through that sort of period of desire and being unfulfilled. It could be perhaps in a previous life they actually aborted a number of babies and didn't give them the chance to come in. So with your sort of hypnosis, have you found anything like that where people have been given that sort of karmic lesson, if you call it that?
Well, I think that what I've learned with the aborted babies that have come through is that they aren't ever, my experience at least has been in my research and the clients who have come to me, is not that the babies are angry. In fact, they come with great love, and they feel sometimes even badly that the mother is going through what they're going through, this guilt. Sometimes if a mother has had an abortion and then can't get pregnant later, she has the thought that it has to do with, well, I took one baby away and God's going to make sure I don't have another. But what I'm learning is that these babies, if these women will find someone that they can work with, and you can do this on your own too, just allow yourself to go into meditation and begin to talk to the baby. And this includes whether it's a baby that you've aborted, or if you want to invite a baby in, you know, that you're ready, you want to be a parent, and ask the baby to come to you. I know that with some of the people that I've talked to who have done this, they've gotten pregnant very quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and now what I'm going to do now, Patricia, is we're sort of coming up to the last 5 minutes, so this might be a good time for you to give out your email address. I notice you've got two, so are you giving out two or just the one?
Yes, no, that's fine, yes. Well, one is, of course, Angel Babies, at, it's Angel Babies and then the number 10527 at AOL.com. And also, just to keep it simple, pmcgivern@AOL.com. And just put in the subject line Angel Babies or something. And, I would love to hear from anybody who has any experiences of spirit communication with early lost babies.
Right. Now, it might be as well if you spelt out the first part of your email address, pmcgivern, because there may be variations in the spelling otherwise.
Yes, P is in Patricia, McGivern, M-C, capital G-I-V-E-R-N, at AOL.com. And that is on my website as well, which is patriciamcgivern.com.
Right. Now, can the book be bought directly from you or Amazon or whatever?
Yes, it can be bought on Amazon.com. If you go to my website, if your listeners are international, there's some different firms that they can purchase it from, even your local metaphysical bookstore. And also from my website, you can purchase it.
Right. Now, what in general terms is your book about? I mean, are you highlighting different cases that you've investigated? How is it sort of set out?
Well, the book starts out with the story that we began with, waking up and hearing, I'm right here, I'm right here, and how that propelled me. And then all of the stories that happened to me, all of the experiences of communication, my doubt, my skepticism, you know, how could this be happening, asking my husband, am I losing my mind? He's a mental health counselor. I am hearing voices. And basically my struggle to really believe that all of this could be possible and that it was true. And then the second half of the book talks about my research, and I have that categorized by how the parents, mostly mothers, wrote to me. But I had one, like, grandchild who told the story that she said if she were alive, my grandmother would tell you this story. And friends, and the babies can come to people who are open to receiving the message so that they can give the message to the parents. So through the dream state, it's categorized through visions, near-death experience, meditation, hypnosis, you know, all of the different ways that they can come to us. And what the feedback I'm getting is that for many people after they read the book, it's so enlightening, I'm going to say, that, you know, things began happening for them. So that is my hope.
Yeah, I'm sure it is wonderfully helpful to people who've had that experience of losing a baby, take away their grief, their worries, their problems. So I'm sure it's going to prove terrifically interesting, and I hope you do well with the sales there. I think I've actually reached a point where I'm going to have to thank you for very much for coming onto the program. The time, as usual, always seems to fly by so quickly when you've got plenty to talk about. And it's a very interesting subject. It's certainly a first as far as I'm concerned. I can't remember ever reading about that subject specifically. So I wish you the best of luck with that. Thank you very, very much, Patricia, for coming onto the program.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Bye-bye. I've got a couple of minutes, friends, to just tell you briefly about next week's guest, who is going to be Shirley Enebrad. She's the author of Over the Rainbow Bridge, which is about her son's journey from here to heaven. And just briefly, her son had cancer from the age of 3 up to his death at age 9. And he was very spiritually aware, spoke far in advance of his age. And he told her that he had out-of-the-body experiences and so forth. So, terrifically interesting subject again, so I hope you can be with me. Thank you for being with me today. God bless you all. Thank you very much.